Hey, everybody. Welcome back to On Deck. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. Lloyd, how are you doing today, man?
I am... You can't tell because I have color correction on because of my weird light setup that I have. But I am pink. I am completely pink on most of my body. It was Canada Day. July 1st is Canada Day. So I spent the last 2 days outside eating barbecue, sitting in the sun. It was supposed to be overcast and rainy for the last couple days. It was not. It was beautiful summer days. Went to the lake, my buddy's cabin, spent some time there. There really is no beach anymore because we've had so much rain. The lake is so full that it's wiped out the whole beach area. So I didn't spend any time at the beach, but I spent so much time outside, so much time eating great barbecue, so much time doing all the stuff that you're going to be doing probably tomorrow for 4th of July, Bill.
Absolutely. My daughter and her boyfriend and my grandson are coming up. My dad's coming over. My mom's coming over. We're all going to hang out and eat way too much food. And I'm really looking forward to it. And that means today after the show, I got to do some cleaning because we're going to have a bunch of people over. But before we get started on the show, I do want to say a quick thank you to our members, our members, but also the people who sent in super chats or super thanks like ES and Anthony Talcott. Really do appreciate you guys supporting the show. We do appreciate that. And of course our members and to Nintendude 794 and Trouble for sending us codes to share with all of you. If you're one of the very first people here watching the show, thank you for watching the show. And as a thank you, we have codes that will show up sometime during the show as a thank you. All right. Lloyd, before we get to what we've been playing, which is usually what we start, I wanted to pose a question to everybody who's watching this and to you and give us a quick little discussion jumping off point. When you play games on the deck, do you shut off the game before you shut off the deck, or do you just simply hit the power button? I want to know what you do. And then everybody who's watching this over on the YouTube channel, leave a comment so that we can talk about this. What do you do, Lloyd?
Sure. First thing I do, if it's a game that allows it, is I save the game. So, for example, Final Fantasy VII that I'm playing a lot, if I have to put my Steam Deck away, my machine away, I go to the menu, I go to save, I exit that menu, and then I just hit the power button. I rarely exit the game unless it's a game that doesn't do the cloud save thing properly and I want to play it on my PC, then I'm forced to go back to my Steam Deck, turn off the game, wait for the cloud save to upload, and then I can start it up on my PC. Mm. Granted, I've only run into that once or twice, and it was very early in the Steam Deck's life. It looks like a lot of developers are switching over to kind of the new cloud save way of doing things. So it's uploading those kind of deltas of your save file instead of just waiting for the game to be closed. Really like that. Long answer to a short question. I save my game and then I hit the power button. How about you?
Well, for me, it again depends on the game, which it's too bad that we have to use some brain space for this, that we have to think about, okay, with this game, I'm going to do this, and with that game, I'm going to do that. So, like, with, say, Monster Hunter, I know that anytime that I've just shut off the Steam Deck and come back to it, it always tells me, hey, there's a communication issue, because it's an online-ish kind of game. And so with that one, I always shut it down before I shut off the Steam Deck. But like with Ninja Turtles, I never did it. I did that. I would just pause the game and shut off the Steam Deck, kind of like I did with the Nintendo Switch. So it depends on the game, but I know that there's a lot of people out there that probably they just want to play it safe. And so sure. I'm guessing that they always shut it all the way down. And honestly, when I first got the Steam Deck, that's what I always did. I always shut the game all the way down before powering down the Steam Deck. But now I treat it more like the Nintendo Switch, with the exception of certain games. And the same thing happens on my Xbox, because some games you can just put into what do they call that mode on the Xbox where you can have multiple games running at the same time?
What do they call it? I think it's just like a suspend mode. I don't know if it has a fancy name or anything.
It does have a fancy name, but I can't remember what it is. But there's a lot of games where the suspend mode doesn't work. Well, I mean, it works, but then when you go to turn the game back on, it's like, we lost connection to the servers, and we have to start the game anyway, and that drives me crazy. So I end up closing those games. But anyway, I'm just curious what everybody does. So leave a comment down below, and if you don't have a Steam Deck, let us know when you expect to get one in the comments down below. You were just going to say something, Lloyd.
Quick resume is what it's called.
That's right.
I was thinking because it pops up a little thing and I'm like, it says something. What does it say? So yeah, quick resume is what it is.
Yeah, quick resume. Although for some games it's long resume because then you have to go through the extra step, like Halo Infinite. You have to go through the extra step of shutting it off and then turning it back on. So it actually takes longer. I wish that on the, this is not an Xbox show, but I wish that on the Xbox you could say, this game doesn't do quick resume. Don't do it. But I don't know if you can, and I don't know if I care enough to find out. All right, let's move on to what we have been playing. Lloyd, start us off. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
Well, this is going to be me teaching Bill how to play baseball by setting up the T-ball stick and putting the ball on top, because I'm going to say the word Monster Hunter Rise, because technically I have played Monster Hunter Rise. I've played about 30 minutes of Monster Hunter Rise, not Monster Hunter Highs, which is what I said for some strange reason.
That's the wrong one.
Monster Hunter Rise, I played a bit on the PC because everyone's talking about it. And it's like, you know what? I was going to play Monster Hunter World. Everyone says it's good, but, and there's too many buts coming up in these conversations. And the but is, you need to play Monster Hunter Rise because it is the best version of Monster Hunter. And for someone that wants to try to get into the franchise, I was like, you know what? Fine. Sunbreak or whatever the new one coming out, it is Sunbreak, is out. So that means there's going to be so many people playing Monster Hunter Rise again. So now is a good time to pick it up. So I did. I picked up Monster Hunter Rise. I jumped in, did some of the tutorials, got horribly lost in the tutorials. There's at one point it says, go to the, the adventurer's hangout. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. And I'm looking in the game. There's no map because at that part of the tutorial, there's no map. And I could not find it going everywhere, walking past the palicos making the stupid stuff with their hammers. And I'm just like, where the hell am I going? It's literally a hole in the wall. I had to find a hole in the wall, went into the hole in the wall, continued on, played through a bunch of it. The tutorial kind of tutorial hunt. And then I said, you know what? That is enough Monster Hunter Rise. I'm going to wait to jump into the game with Bill because I know Bill's been playing Sunbreak. So how has Sunbreak been for you, Bill?
So boy, good news and bad news. First off, a comment about the tutorial. The Monster Hunter team is possibly some of the worst at making tutorials in the history of video games. They do not teach you how to play, and you're better off learning by going to YouTube or playing with a friend. So, you know, you did the right thing there. But then the good news, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak is like a whole other game. And they could have easily just said Monster Hunter Sunbreak and started you from scratch, but they didn't do that. And I'm grateful for that because, you know, as you play the game, you invest all these hours into your character, and it would be a shame to have to start from scratch on another character. So there's that. Sunbreak is fantastic, but bad news, it crashes on the Steam Deck. And it is really, really frustrating because I played 80 hours of Monster Hunter Rise on the Steam Deck. And then for it to suddenly start crashing with the DLC is so frustrating. It plays wonderfully on my PC, and I'm going to keep playing it because I love that game. But playing it on the Steam Deck is a no-go because what happens is I get into the game and I take a quest, I go, and as soon as I, and it doesn't happen every time, it's so fickle, but as soon as I enter into combat, the whole game just freezes and nothing moves. And that is incredibly frustrating to have happened. So then I end up, I hit the Steam button, I close the game down, I open it back up, same thing happens again. I go through everything, do it again. Doesn't happen for some reason. I have no idea Like, I've tried the different protons. I've tried setting the resolution. No matter what I do, the game will sometimes freeze. And when like, you work tech support, Lloyd, you know that when something happens intermittently, it's incredibly difficult to diagnose. I've reached out to Capcom about this. I've heard nothing back. I did do, like, a web search, and I've seen other people complaining about the same thing. So if you're a huge Monster Hunter Rise fan and you have another place to play it, then pick it up because it's just fantastic. But if you are only able to play on your Steam Deck, then I would say don't pick the game up yet because you're going to enter into a whole bunch of frustration. But overall, I love the game.
Awesome. I was impressed because it's a pretty beefy game. Like it requires some horsepower when you get into some of the hunts and things like that. And just almost stock right out of the box, you can have it running at like 8.5 watts on the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. Without doing too much monkeying, I went in and I dropped the resolution and made sure FSR was on and did all the kind of fun little tweaky things that I do. And I was able to get it really low, but even just going to normal, it goes between like 8.5 watts to like 11.5 watts, depending on what's happening on screen, which I was pretty impressed at, knowing when the game first came out and people are like, oh, I have to upgrade my video card, it's not running properly, to get Monster Hunter Rise running on their PC, even though it can support lower resolutions, of course, but they want like the biggest, best and best looking version of that game. I was pretty impressed out of the box that it's not using as much power as some of the Unity games that are just like 2D Metroidvanias that are using like 16 watts because they're not using the power properly.
Yeah, the RE engine, which is what this is built on, the Resident Evil engine, is really impressive. And it just occurs to me, you are able to play on the Steam Deck because you're playing the older stuff. It's only the newer stuff that's not working. So you've got dozens of hours that you're going to be able to put into the game on the Steam Deck until you can't. Hopefully they'll get that fixed sooner rather than later, because this is my favorite place to play is on the Steam Deck. And right now I can't play it on the Steam Deck. So I'm trapped here at this desk if I want to play Monster Hunter. But that's okay. There's plenty of other games to play. What else have you been playing, Lloyd?
It's going to sound like a broken record, but I am I'm neck deep in Final Fantasy VII Remake. I just completed chapter 14. I think there's 18 or 19 chapters. I did a quick Google search. How many chapters? And I think there's 18 or 19. So I'm getting near the end. But from what I understand, when you get near the end, there's the chapters aren't the same chunk of time between each of them. So I know that I'm maybe 2 hours or not 2 hours. I'm 20 hours in. There's probably another 20 hours of gameplay before I'm satisfied with this game. I am absolutely loving this game. Playing it on the Steam Deck it's a dream. Like, it brings me back to the days of the PSP and playing Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII on my PSP and just being like, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII. Portably, this is amazing. Fast forward 20 years and I'm doing the same thing, except playing actual Final Fantasy VII or one third of it on the Steam Deck. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. It is such a great game, and I'm going to be playing this game until I complete it. And then I'm probably going to play it again on hard mode to get like all of the enemy attacks that you can absorb with the enemy status materia or whatever it's called, so you can absorb their attacks and use them. There's a bunch of other things that you can get, so I'm probably going to play this game multiple times over and over. I am really, really loving it, and I'm at a part right now where Barrett is kind of the main character through the game, and I love him in this game. He is so over the top and ridiculous, and I laugh out loud multiple times playing through the game. So yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake, I know, broken record, but man, that game is so damn good.
I will say that I love that he's afraid of heights.
Yes, it's good. My favorite part of Barrett is when you just have him, or if he's the active person and you just hold down the button to do like your gun attack and you kill a bunch of enemies. And then at the end, he's like, and I'm like, yes, thank you, Barrett. You are the best. You are the best. I love Final Fantasy VII Remake so, so much.
Well, speaking of Final Fantasy, I have been playing Final Fantasy XII. It's on part of the Steam summer sale, so you like you can pick it up for $25 right now. I had already played Final Fantasy XII. I never finished it, but I had played it before, and it's a really, really good game. It's got a really strange, if you've never played Final Fantasy XII, basically what they did is they give you control of your full party, and your full party, it's very much like if you're playing an MMO, but when you play an MMO, you're generally only controlling one person. So how do you deal with controlling everybody else? Well, they have what's called the Gambit system, and they essentially directly lifted the Gambit system from Final Fantasy IV, and it was how the enemy AI would do things, and then they just pasted it in and said, we're going to give you, the player, the ability to control how the rest of your party interacts with during combat with this Gambit system. So you have like this AI scripting that you can do. You go in and you're like, okay, attack whoever my party leader is attacking. Unless somebody gets below 70% health, in which case throw a potion at them. And so you have all of these rules that you can apply to your team, and it's really, really cool. And part of the progress, you might be like, well, doesn't that like take away from the playing of the game? No, because at any time you can hit the A button and then say, oh, actually do this right now instead. So basically you have like these rules that you set up, and then you play the game, and any time you need to improvise, you can do that on the fly. And then as you play the game, you unlock new rules to add to the Gambit system. So at first, you won't have the ability to automatically target somebody who's been poisoned and hit them with, you know, whatever clears poison, like a cure, not cure. Well, I can't remember what it is, but hit them with something that clears that poison off. I think it's Insuna, if I'm remembering correctly, which I'm probably not. But later on, you can unlock that new ability to target something based on that. And then you can set up different rules as you play. So like if you're encountering an enemy who's weak against fire, you can then tell them to cast fire spells. But that's only after you've unlocked the ability to add that rule in. It's a really weird system. And I think I don't know if I'm explaining it in a very good way, but it's incredibly unique. And I love it. And you can, having not played it when it first came out, you can definitely see the progression of when Final Fantasy XI came out, and then which was an online game, and then they moved to Final Fantasy XII. You can see how they were thinking of taking this MMO combat and bringing it to a single player game. And as somebody who's a fan of MMOs, I just absolutely love this game. Also, you have all these different classes, or not classes, jobs that you can assign to your different characters, which I think is really cool. And then finally, the last thing I'll say before I let Lloyd jump in here is, boy, the story reminds me of Star Wars a little bit. Like the setting feels more like Star Wars than it does other Final Fantasy games. Anyway, have you played Final Fantasy XII, Lloyd?
I have. I played it, I think, mostly on the Switch, if I remember correctly. I think I played through it almost all the way again recently, like recently, within the last 5 years, because it came out on the Switch and picked it up for like, they were doing crazy sales for a lot of these Final Fantasy games back in the day. I think I picked it up for $20 on cartridge or something. Something like that. Anyway, I love that game. The Gambit system, I hated it at the start. I'm like, this is stupid. But then you get in and you set it up just like what you said, where attack all these enemies that are weak to fire, attack them with fire, attack them with lightning, attack them with ice, attack them with whatever. And all of a sudden the game opens up that way. It's like, oh my God, my party is getting rid of the kind of fodder. And then I'm like focusing manually more on the main guy in this attack. And it becomes a game within a game within a game. I really, really loved it. And I'll probably have to pick it up on Steam at some point so I can replay it on my PC or on my Steam Deck, because it is a really fun game and it doesn't get a lot of love. I think Final Fantasy XII, because of the way the game starts and it takes you like 17 hours to get into kind of like the start of the game, there is a lot of hate for it at launch. I do want to replay it, and it's good to hear that it plays really well on Steam Deck.
It does play really well, and I really like the fact that you can hit the left bumper and make the game go faster, because this game was made, Japanese development or games often, I feel like they don't respect the player's time very much, and so they will be like, sure, we've got 7 million hours in order to beat this game. But a lot of that is sometimes like just walking from place to place. And so you can make it go actually 4 times faster and just zip across the map real fast. It's so cool. I will also say that another thing that I really, really like about it is the upgrade system. So basically you go into your character, and then you have like almost like a chessboard where you put your points in, and you know, unlocking this spot gives you the ability to unlock the spots that are around it, and you kind of make your way across this chessboard. And you know, then you have multi-classing coming in later. It's just every playthrough, I feel like, or every different person's playthrough, they're going to have very, very different decisions that they made. And I always like it when player choice really matters in these kind of games. That's probably the one that I've played the most this week, since Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak keeps crashing on the Steam Deck. What else have you been playing, Lloyd?
Just a couple things. We talked a little bit about Project Warlock 2 last week. I just called it Project Warlock, but it's Project Warlock 2. It's the new version. I also own Project Warlock, but that's an older game.
That's the one that I bought on your, that's the one that you had mentioned. And so I bought that one, and that's the one that I've been playing.
That's the one that's like $3 right now. So at least that didn't cost you too much money, which is good.
It's good.
But yeah, Project Warlock 2, that was the one that I was having issues where it was installing at 0 bytes. And personally, I thought it was related to the fact that my SD card was almost filled up, which we'll talk about in a little bit. We can talk about how I fixed that in a little bit. But all I had to do to get it working, and I literally figured it out right after we recorded. I was just like, well, let's see if this works. And like 5 minutes after we got off the call, I did it and it worked. And I'm like, son of a gun. So all you basically have to do is, if you install it and it shows up at 0 bytes, you go into the settings and you just choose a Proton version. And then that tells the game, oh, you don't want to use the Linux install. You don't want to use the Linux repository. You want to use the PC one. So immediately it says it popped up saying updating. And the update was 2 gigs, because that's the full game. So it downloaded the full game, immediately got into it, and had been playing through the game. It is so good. I love this game so much. I turned the view bob down from 100% to like 10%, and now I don't feel like I'm going to vomit everywhere from motion sickness, which I'm susceptible to now, which sucks a lot, but I got to live with it. I turned that down and played through it. The controls are weird. The defaults, I guess, template that it chooses for it, you don't have enough movement around. So if you want to like turn your right stick to move the camera, you're like going like a degree a second as you're turning around. It's super slow. And even at 100%, it is really slow. So I've been messing around with trying to use your trackpad as a mouse, and it's either way too fast or way too slow as well. So I got to mess around with that a little bit more. I haven't had that much time to do that, mainly because Final Fantasy VII has been sucking up all of my available free time. But it works really well on Steam Deck. It's in early access right now, so I'm sure there's going to be a heck of a lot of updates to it. But it's this really cool first-person shooter where it's set up like an old one, but it plays like a more modern first-person shooter, like, say, Doom, the newer Dooms or whatever, where it's super fast and bombastic. But you're dropped into a world, and the world is a puzzle in itself. There's a bunch of doors that you have to open. So you know you need the yellow key card and the blue key card. You don't know how to get them. There's a whole bunch of secrets. And you're basically going through the similar parts of the level over and over and over as you are kind of uncovering the different buttons and things that you have to hit, which then opens up the whole level, and then you can complete the level. And I haven't really played a first-person shooter like that in a very long time. Project Warlock, the original one, was kind of trying to be a Hexen or a Heretic. So if you played those old first-person shooters, they were Doom with RPG elements thrown on top of it. So you're playing Doom, but you really weren't playing Doom. The Project Warlock feels more Doomy with kind of the locales of a Hexen or a Heretic. This one plays very much like Doom, but with kind of the retro-styled looks of kind of like the old game, but with the super fast movement and everything is the new one. The weapons are great. It has a really weird mechanic. You can't reload your weapon ever. The only way to reload is to swap weapons. So I'm constantly swapping weapons to reload whatever gun I want to use. So much fun. I can't wait to play through some more of this one on my Steam Deck now that it's actually running on my Steam Deck.
So when you say you can't reload ever, in Doom, you never reload. Like, nothing ever runs out of ammo. Well, no, that's not true. It does run out of ammo, and then you do have to swap weapons, but then you just have to pick up more ammo and you can keep shooting, and you never actually have to hit a button to reload. Does it work like that, or does swapping weapon automatically refresh your ammo?
Yeah, so that's what it does. So your guns will have X number of bullets in the clip, and if you keep using it till the clip is there, it goes through reload animation.
If you just go
left bumper, right bumper, immediately, if you only had like two shots left in your clip, you'll have 30 shots again. So it immediately does it. So it's a super fast way of reloading. So it's kind of it reminds me a little bit of Gears of War, where you're doing your active reload, where there's kind of a little mini game. This is the mini game is left bumper, right bumper, but it's more keeping track of how many bullets you have in your clip, because if you go into a room and you're getting assaulted by a bunch of like the harpy girls and the zombie dudes, it's like, oh no, I don't have enough bullets, I'm gonna get destroyed. So right bumper, left bumper, you have all your ammo back, and you can just mow them all down. So yeah, Project Warlock 2 plays so well on the Steam Deck. Granted, with some control issues, hopefully those get sorted out as time goes by, but I'm really enjoying it. I just wish I had more time to play it. Unfortunately, Final Fantasy VII is bogarting all my time.
Well, I will say this. Check out Steam Input, because, yes, you are adjusting the speed of the controls in the game, but you can also adjust the sensitivity and the response curve of the thumbstick in Steam Input.
Which I've tried messing around with. And it does a really weird thing where I can set my right trackpad as a mouse, and it's super slow. But as soon as I have my finger on the left stick, the mouse is super fast. So there must be some other kind of multiplication thing that's going on where you have your finger on the left stick. It makes the sensitivity more on the right panel. And I'm not a Steam Input expert at all. I'm very scared of Steam Input. I see things like cord and ring, and I'm just like, I don't know what this is, so I just get right out of there. So there must be something that I'm missing, and granted, I haven't had enough time to really dig through it. So that's kind of the nice thing about Steam Input on the Steam Deck is what you want to do isn't there, you can probably make it happen somehow using all the crazy modifiers and things that you can do for each of the buttons and things like that. So this is just me needing more time to get in there and mess around with it. But even with out of like when it's stock and you take your controller camera input and you put it from 10% all the way to 100%, it kind of works even without messing around with the Steam Input stuff. Mm. So I'm enjoying Project Warlock 2 a lot on Steam Deck.
That's awesome. I picked up, and I'm going to recommend everybody pick these up, because it's $2.75 for this bundle. This bundle is called the Arcade Score Chaser Bundle, and it's just a bunch of extremely simple games. It's on sale for 20% off, right, or 72% off right now. So usually this bundle is $10. For like these 8 games, like they're already really cheap games, and they're already on sale for even cheaper.
Right.
But I bought this bundle mostly because of Ding Dong XL, which sounds stupid. Yes. Normally it's a 99-cent game. It's on sale for 50 cents right now, but I figured why not get the bundle? It's such a simple and awesome gameplay loop. You control this object, and all you have to do, you have one button. You push A, and it sends that object across the screen to the other side, vertically. There are objects that are moving left and right that you have to either avoid if they're bad things or hit if they're good things. And your job is to get across the screen as many times as you can to get the highest possible score. And it's incredibly fun. I did do a Steam input thing where if I hit the A button, it will just send it. But if I hold the A button, it will do the turbo, so it will send it as fast as possible. So if I see something coming and I'm like, I think I could bounce off and get across real quick, I just hold down the A button and it will send it as soon as it hits to the end. This game is just awesome, and it's 50 cents, and it's never expensive. So if you don't want to get it right now, that's fine. It'll only ever be a dollar at most. But get the whole bundle because you got all these super simple, addictive gameplay loop games. They take up almost no space on your Steam Deck. These games will always be installed on my Steam Deck. And anytime I feel like just trying to go for a high score, I'm going to fire up one of these things because they're just so fun. I know that you played Ding Dong XL. Have you played any of the other games in the bundle?
I have not. I didn't realize that this was a series of games. I played Ding Dong XL when it came to Switch, and it was kind of like $1 or less than $5. I think it was $1 on Switch, actually. Picked it up because, I mean, it's $1. Why not? And spent many, many hours playing Ding Dong XL trying to get a high score. It is a really, really good game. It looks like they've added a lot to it since I've last played it. So I want to get in and check that stuff out. What a great deal for this really simple game bundle, because they're all different, but they're all like crazy addictive and high score chasing. So for whatever it is, like $3, you can get a bunch of games and have some good times on your Steam Deck.
Yeah, there's another one that I had played that's in the bundle that I had never played before, and that's called Righty Tighty. And basically the way that works is you control like a little white orb, which can only turn right. Like you have one button. You can turn right with a 90-degree turn. And you have objects moving across the screen, and if they're a color object, then you have to avoid them. If it's a white object, then you have to pick it up and then drop it off in this little moving circle. So basically, you just keep moving around, clockwise, and you just – well, I'm going counterclockwise because my camera's reversed. You keep moving around clockwise to avoid things and pick up the things that you're looking for. It's just – these games are so simple and super cheap that I think every single person who has a Steam Deck should pick one of these up because they're so awesome. What else have you been playing, nice. Lloyd?
We talked a little bit about Saturn Deluxe last week. That's the dual stick shooter that is very much like old Robotron or Berserk. And we had issues where it was crashing constantly. I was able to fix the crashing. I changed my Proton version to... I changed it to experimental. Let me double check to see what got it not crashing. I think it was experimental. Compatibility. Yeah, Proton experimental. The game doesn't ever crash, or at least it hasn't crashed for me, which is great. So I was like, oh, this game is part of a bundle. Let's check out Palm Ride, which was that really cool driving game. That still crashes. At the end of a race, it just stops and doesn't continue on. So I tried experimental 7, 6, and some other versions, and none of those Proton versions allow Palm Ride to work, unfortunately. But the game that I really wanted to play was Saturn Deluxe, and I've been able to play it, and it is another kind of like high score chaser, quick get in and out. You play for 5 minutes or you play for 30 seconds depending on how well you do. And the visuals are just so psychedelic and awesome. It just brings me back to kind of like the early 80s in the arcade, where every game kind of looked like this because everyone was trying to chase the Robotron hype. So it was really, really fun to get in there and play this one on my Steam Deck.
Yeah, I ended up picking up that bundle too after we talked about it on last week's episode, and I'm running into the same issues with Palm Ride as that you are. But another game that's in that bundle is Tech Beat Heart, which is a top-down bullet hell shooter. Really cool game. You fly around as this little spaceship, and as you shoot like these spiders, they drop like an orb. You pick up that orb, and it changes your weapon to something else. You have like fire and lasers and a bunch of other stuff that you can pick up between like the sword. And you just try and stay alive for as long as you can. It's, again, one of those kind of games. This one just worked right out of the box. I didn't have to do any of the other Proton stuff. I ran into the same issues that you did with the Palm Ride game. I don't know if I played the Robotron one very much. I think that was crashing for me, and then I ended up playing something else. So I'm going to have to switch Protons. Real quick, do you have Proton GE installed, or are you just using the vanilla Protons that Valve provides?
Yeah, I had Proton GE installed for the Heroic launcher, because there's a couple games that I was trying to get going and it needed Proton GE. That's not showing up in the game version of my Steam Deck, so I can't select it. So I'm not sure. I probably did something wrong. I installed Heroic Launcher very early on in the life of my Steam Deck, and I know things have changed. So I probably need to uninstall that version of Proton and install the better version of Proton and make sure that it's visible on both sides, both the desktop mode and the game mode, or the Steam version mode of the Steam Deck. So that might actually fix a lot of my problems, because it seems like the GE version of Proton is kind of like the best case scenario in all areas. When a game doesn't work, try that one, and it usually starts working. So yeah, I need to take some time today or this week and try to figure out a better way to install it. I think my issue was installing it through the Heroic launcher, which didn't actually offer it up to any other things that are running on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but I use something called Proton Up, I think, and It's go to desktop mode, install this thing called Proton Up. I think that's what it's called. And then it will automatically download the Proton GE, and you can say, I want this version of Proton GE, not this one. And then they're available. Nice. And it also makes it easier for you to update when a new version of it comes out. Speaking of games that are not working, I was really, really disappointed. This one is on sale for $10 right now, and that's Blaster Master 03. I love the Blaster Master games. They are fantastic games. This one does not run on deck no matter what I do. It launches. Now, to be fair, this game is marked as yellow, playable. It's marked as playable. It's not marked as verified, but it's marked as playable. But when I play it, it doesn't work. So here's what happens. It doesn't load certain textures. So you can never see like text on screen. Like when you are looking at like dialogue between characters or whatever, it just shows up an empty box and nothing shows up. And then when I get in the little robot tank thing that you drive around in, I go about, I don't know, 15 feet, and then the game just freezes, doesn't do anything. I have annoying. No idea what to do. I've tried all the different Protons that you can. Well, I've tried a bunch of different ones. I don't know if I've tried them all, but it just doesn't work. So Blaster Master 03 does not work on Steam Deck for me, and that is really, really disappointing, even though it's marked as playable. Now, when you look at why it's marked as playable, it says it doesn't support the Steam Deck's native display resolution and may experience degraded performance. Okay, but, you know, it should load all of the textures. And I've tried uninstalling it and reinstalling it. That doesn't fix it either. I'm at a loss. If anybody out there has Blaster Master 03 and knows how to get it working on Steam Deck, please let me know, because this should not be marked as playable, in my opinion.
Right, yeah, exactly. I love Blaster Master 0. It was such an amazing game when it first came out on the Nintendo Switch, because it was... like Blaster Master, what happened to that game? No one talked about that for years other than it being a cult classic. And next thing you know, you have this really amazing game come out of it. And the fact that they've done a couple other ones is pretty awesome. While you were talking, I did a quick search in desktop mode, and it looks like Proton Up-QT is the name of the app. So it's already installed. I just haven't been using it. So I'll be doing that after the show to try to get the right version of Proton installed so I can try some other things to get these games running better.
Yeah. All right. Last week, actually, before we go any further, I just want to let everybody know that I posted a video. As Lloyd and I are talking about this, it's the third. I posted a video this morning of this doc. It's a review of the, I don't know how to get my camera to focus on it, the JSOX Steam Deck doc. Make sure that you go to the YouTube channel and check out that review. It also, they also have a Steam Deck case that you can put on your Steam Deck. I'm not a case guy, though, so I don't really use the case all that much. But the dock I have used. Lloyd, you and I talked about this off camera. Hmm. I feel like this is a really good dock. I'm a fan of this dock, but I don't think that Steam Deck is quite ready for the dock yet. And you kind of mentioned that to me as well. What were what are the things that you run into with the Steam, with docking your Steam Deck?
Yeah, I've been trying to, because I have multiple capture cards. I have multiple like USB-C capture devices, like this thing for like the iPad or whatever. Or I guess this isn't a capture device. It's a converter from USB-C to
HDMI.
Yeah. So I got a bunch of these little adapters and things. And the thing that is driving me absolutely crazy, and it's probably only an issue to content creators like us, like I want to capture the resolution that is coming right to my Steam Deck screen when I'm capturing a video. I want to show how is this game running on my deck. Well, I want to show it off pixel perfect, 800p, 720p, whatever it is. And for the life of me, I can't get that working using different Elgato capture cards, different HDMI adapters. There doesn't seem to be any way to force my Steam Deck to output at 800p without connecting it first to an 800p screen, which then I can't capture from because it's connected right to like an old 720p LCD panel. So I really wish that Valve works on this, and they will. I mean, that's kind of what they do. They're constantly improving the way the Steam Deck runs. But there should be an advanced option that says, okay, when sending video through USB-C, I want my max resolution to be X. And for most people, like people like Bill that pick up a dock and just want to put their dock beside their TV, plug it in, and then dock their Steam Deck to play games with like a Bluetooth controller, they won't care about that. But for people like me, I want to lock it down to 800p. I want to get the exact same video recorded so that I can do fun things like have an overlay that is a Steam Deck and then have my video running underneath it. Because I found that when I play games at, say, 1080p or whatever the resolution is, that I can force the game itself to run at 800p, and then it stretches up to the 1080p using FSR or whatever. But the game doesn't perform the same way as it does on my Steam Deck. There's a little bit of delay. There's a little bit of UI lag. There's a little bit of things that aren't there mm-hmm. when I'm not connected to a capture card. And it drives me insane that there isn't a way to lock that in, because it does seem like Valve has thought of everything else. Like there's ways to turn almost every feature on and off on the Steam Deck or modified in a way that is better for you, the end user. But this whole external display thing is just, it's driving me cuckoo.
Yeah. So, you know, you said that, you know, people who just hook it up to their TV and are not content creators are probably fine. I disagree with that, because most TVs that people have, I'm going to say that I think the most people who have a TV at this point probably have a 4K TV. And you're going to run into that same issue where it's like trying to upscale or whatever. Now, you said there should be a way for me to set it so that I can adjust the resolution. And I'm just going to put me on screen for a second. And if I click on the little gear button, it brings up my my menu here. And if I go down to properties and then right here under game resolution, right, I can set it to native. And if I pick, I'm going to say 1280 by 800, then there's a little check mark underneath that that sets the resolution for internal and external display. Why is that on a per game basis? Why? Like, that should be a setting that I can say, just like you said, go in the settings someplace, I want the maximum output to always be this, because when I hook this up, now I have to do that on every single game. And right. when I start a game, man, this thing just chugs anytime that it is hooked up to an external display. And I'm always like, did I set it to the right thing? And then I'm not sure. And then I got to close the game down and then reopen the game. And if the game was already running when I dock it, then sometimes I run into an issue and sometimes I don't. It's when you come from the Nintendo Switch, where you dock it and it just goes and there's really nothing for you to really think about, that's a really good experience. This is a fantastic portable experience. And while my review of this dock says that this dock is fantastic, the docking experience of the Steam Deck, I think, leaves a bit to be desired, unless you are docking it with the specifically in mind to use it as a PC, where, like, you dock it, it goes into desktop mode, and, like, you're going around and browsing the internet or something. That's a great experience. Like, that works perfectly fine. I don't have the need for that, but I feel like Valve has more work to do when it comes to what the software is doing when you are docking this thing. And I almost wonder, I mean, obviously the chip shortage is an issue, but I almost wonder if that's the reason that they're not shipping their official dock yet, is because they want to make sure that all of this stuff works out. And, like, recently in the patch notes, I think I remember seeing something about capture cards and something. Maybe that was in the beta patch notes. Yeah. So fixed multi-channel. Here, let me put this on screen. We'll talk about this in a second, but, like, in the 3.3 beta patch notes, multi-channel audio for external displays, fixed audio on some capture cards. Like, so I wonder if this is an issue where they are like, you know what, our software is not ready, so let's not ship that hardware, because all it's going to do is cause people headaches. What do you think, Lloyd?
Yeah, I think that they're doing kind of the slow rollout of specific features. They have the features that every user is using. They obviously want to make that working at 100% without any issues. But the other ones, they're going to slow roll them out, because they need time in the oven, I guess. My understanding, the feature that you showed off where you can set the resolution, what it does is it sets the maximum resolution that the game can choose. And when I've done that, when I've set it to like 800p, it's still outputting through the USB-C at higher than 800p, but the game itself will only run at 800p. So that's when it does the stretch up to 1080p through FSR. And you can tell that by when you turn on the stats and you put it to like level 5, and you can see all the various things that are going on. You can see that FSR is enabled, which it shouldn't be enabled if I'm running at 800p, because my screen is 800p. But it's saying, okay, I'm outputting at 1080p, I'm going to have the maximum resolution at 800p, and then I'm going to stretch it up. And that's when you run into the chugging issues, which is so annoying, because you want to show off how well this game is running. But if you're capturing 1080p FSR'd up from 800p, it doesn't look that great. And there might be some hardware issues as to why it's not possible. Maybe 800p isn't a resolution that a lot of TVs will naturally accept, because I remember back in the day of 1080p being new, some consoles would only output it at 720i or 720p, and some TVs wouldn't display the 720i signal. And then the same thing happened with 4K when you had a 1080p i. Some consoles wouldn't display on all TVs, and because of the weird video resolution stuff that's happening. So maybe there's a hardware issue, and I'm not a hardware guy from that side of things. Like, I don't mess around with changing the HDMI connection protocol. You can actually get a little device, you sit somewhere in the chain, and it will force whatever HDMI resolution is being asked, or because your device will query and then it will receive a response. It just sends, yep, maximum I can do is 720p, and it does that for both sides. So there's all these other like crazy workarounds. But it'd be really nice if I could just do it like on my actual Steam Deck and have it display and capture the proper way. if anybody is able to capture at 800p with using basic hardware or software that you have access to, and you're saying you're an idiot, Lloyd, you're not doing it right, please let me know below, because this is my biggest rough edge on my Steam Deck right now that I want to try to solve, is being able to capture it properly so that when we're doing a show like this, I could just replace my face with my screen, or when I'm streaming a video, I could do that without having that slowdown, because if that's happening, I might as well just run it on my PC and then shrink the video down to 800p that way. So yeah, that would be a really nice thing for Valve to correct in the near future.
Absolutely. Last week we said, boy, it's been a while since they've done patch notes, and then they did like 4 patch notes this week. I'm obviously not going to, a lot of them were bug fixes. So yeah, what's up?
I'm going to remind you after this one, I want to talk about the shader cache stuff before we get into the newsy news.
Okay. So there's a lot of patch note stuff. I'm not going to talk about all of it. A couple of things that stood out to me. So let me bring this up. Added missing deck buttons for gyro enable and button cord options. Just really quick, I wanted to let people know, what does that mean? As far as gyro enable, I've always seen that. I'm not sure what they mean by that. But for button cord options, you can... So when you play a guitar, you can play a note, which is one... You know, you pluck one string. But if you pluck multiple strings, that's called a chord. When you are designing a Steam input method on your Steam Deck, you can make it so that certain actions will only happen when you use two buttons together. That's called a corded press. So when I push X and Y at the same time, give this input. When I push X, give this input. When I push Y, give this input. So that's three inputs for two buttons. And it looks like they added a few more deck buttons as far as corded presses, which is always good when they can add more stuff to Steam input. So I think that that's awesome. Then they also said that these features also require you to be running Steam OS beta. You can opt into this using the update channel, which we've talked about before. And then we have Steam OS 3.3. Again, lots of new keyboards and stuff for different countries, which is awesome, and lots of bug fixes. They did bring back the what was that thing where we talked about it last time, where you know you couldn't adjust the brightness of the screen automatically. They brought that back, so it looks like that is fixed. And they fixed some external display stuff, which again makes me think that that's the reason why we don't have an official Steam Deck dock yet, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Feel free to disagree with me in the comments, if for no other reason than for the algorithm. Anything here jump out, or do you want to jump into your comment about the thing that you wanted to say?
Shader cache.
Yeah. Thank you.
The one thing that I really like is adding the built-in controller driver that takes effect when Steam isn't running in desktop mode. Because I've had some issues in desktop mode where for some reason Steam stops responding, and then I can't do anything. Like there's like no button presses do anything. So to have a built-in fallback driver is really nice. I don't know if that would solve it in that instance. But it having Steam have to be active for you to use the controls for the most part has always been kind of weird, because you start desktop mode and then your controls work and then they don't for a period of time, and then they start working again as Steam drops out and then loads it back in. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool to see that they're doing that. And again, it to me, as we talked about last episode or the episode before, it is really weird having an OS beta and a Steam client beta, and having requirements of one beta for the other and all this other stuff. Support's going to be hell for their support team. Thank you for doing all this for us, though, and
yeah,
making it work better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's talk about your shader cache thing, because I know that you wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so this has been people have been talking about doing this since the Steam Deck first launched. And for me, I bought a 64 gig Steam Deck. I should have bought the 256. I wasn't sure if I really wanted one, so I was just like, I'm just going to get the cheap one, assuming that I could upgrade down the road. Obviously not the case, yada, yada, yada. Fast forward to today. I constantly, if I install a game, I get a low space notification because I have no more space on my internal drive. I have less than a gigabyte, or I had less than a gigabyte available on my internal drive, because when you install a game, it installs to your SD card, but it downloads the compat data, which is like all the stuff that allows it to run on like the Windows emulation thing or the Windows translation thing. All those little stubs and little bits of code get downloaded, and they can be up to like a gigabyte for some games of stuff that allows the game to run. And then there's also the shader cache, which downloads little bits of data, little compiled versions of your shaders automatically for your games. Those two folders, the compat data and the shader cache, were taking up 30 gigabytes on my internal drive, which was very small to begin with. So to fix that, all I did was make a folder on my SD card called Share Cache or caches or whatever I called it. I took the two folders that are in home/home/deck/.steam/steam/steam apps. You don't have to remember that. There's Bill can put a link to this on YouTube, or we can talk about where I found it, which was on Reddit. There's two specific folders in that area, compat data and shader cache. I drag both of those to my SD card using desktop mode. It said, what do you want to do? Do you want to copy or move? I said, move. So what it did is it took all that 30 plus gigabytes of data and it moved it from my internal memory to the SD card. And then all you do is, once that move has happened, you take those folders and you drag them back to their original location. But instead of selecting copy or move, you choose link, which creates a symlink, which is something that Linux uses, where you can make a fake version of a thing that acts like the real version, but it actually is just a pointer to where it really exists. So Steam OS is writing to the internal shader cache folder, but it really is located on my SD card. So there is limitations there. People say that, oh, your games could be slower. I've never run into any issue. No one that I know that has done this has run into any issue. But if you ever take out your SD card and put another SD card in, nothing that you have installed on your Steam Deck will work, because your shader cache folder is now on your SD card. So this is definitely a temporary fix until Valve implements something more permanent. But this works for me. Now I get no more pop-ups. I have no other issues, because I've run into issues where games that are running and then they run out of storage and they go into kind of like a panic mode where things like kind of freak out and then the game crashes and then it won't boot again. And that was always my internal memory was 0 bytes and I had to go delete stuff. Now that means I can install different versions of Proton, because I don't run out of space anymore for Proton, which is installed on my internal drive. It's made things so much nicer, but I really wish there was an official way to do it, so that if I ever remove my SD card, even if I have a game installed on my internal drive of my Steam Deck, without that SD card, that game won't run because it's looking on the SD card for places for files.
I have an idea, and I don't know if this would work, or I'm just curious about a scenario. Let's say that you have two SD cards, one for first person shooters, one for RPGs. Mm-hmm. If you swap them, is that going to work with what you've done, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I haven't played around with it, but what my understanding is Steam looks for this folder and it expects data for every game that you have installed in the Steam client in this folder. And if it can't find one of the games because it's a first person shooter, but you have your RPG SD card in, if you try to start that game, it's going to cause some issues. But your RPG should still work, I believe.
Okay,
but if you have something installed to your internal drive, you have to then have those files on both SD cards. And that becomes kind of like a nightmare of file management.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. So hopefully in the near future, Steam will fix it. My two complaints with Steam Deck is shader cache not being able to be officially moved to the SD card or stored somewhere else. Compat data and shader cache not being movable. And also the output stuff. 800p lockdown only does that resolution. Those two things being fixed would make the Steam Deck just like the perfect device. All the rough edges for me personally would be completely gone. So hopefully Valve's working on that. But This is a nice workaround for the interim until an official solution comes for this.
All right, let's move on to the news. And oh man, this is Q2 is done. If you're a Q2 person, you've got your Steam Deck by now. Q3 is shipping, and this is really, really good news. They are increasing, like, they are more than doubling the amount they are shipping, excuse me, every single week. Now, how are they suddenly able to do this? This is going to cause some controversy, I think. And boy, I'm not sure how I feel about this. I mean, first off, it doesn't affect me. I already have my Steam Deck. It doesn't affect Lloyd. He already has his Steam Deck. So maybe we're not the people to talk about this because we're unaffected. But here's the thing. In order to make more Steam Decks, they need to get the parts from different suppliers. And some of those suppliers will be giving you NVMe drives that have four lanes. And some of those part suppliers will have NVMe drives with only two lanes. And Valve has said that outside of extreme cases, you shouldn't notice any difference. Now, I have absolutely zero reason not to trust Valve on this. If they say that that's true, then that's probably true because they don't want to open themselves up to a lawsuit by saying something that's not true. But I can completely understand how somebody who ordered their Steam Deck a year ago, expecting to get X and then getting Y, would be disappointed. Now, I'm sure that, you know, they posted this, and anybody who's already paid for theirs, like the full price, they're probably going to be getting the four-lane thing. This is probably going to be moving forward where you might get the two-lane thing.
Right.
And Lloyd, how do you feel about this idea that the SSD could be different for different people?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have enough data to really comment on what the real world implications are. But for Valve to come out and say this won't really affect people because it's the X2 version is as fast as you need to load and save games, similar to the internal the standard internal drive that other people would have. So if they have an X4 or whatever, or your SD card. So if you're already running an SD card and loading games from it, that's going to be slower than the X2. So yeah, you're not going to have any slowdown compared to what you're already used to. I want to take Valve's word at face value because they've done the tests and they've been completely honest to us right from the start. So I don't think there's any. They're not trying to be dirty here by doing it. They're just facing realities. They're having issues getting a component, so they're using this other component, which we've seen with fans. They've used multiple types of fans. They've used, I think there was one other device or one other component that was different between Steam Decks, but maybe I'm remembering incorrectly. But I know for sure the fans and in this, it's probably not going to make any difference. But you know there's going to be the people that get their Steam Deck recent or in the next week or month or whatever. And they're like, oh, I got the crappy internal drive. Well, I'm going to complain to Valve or I'm going to contact iFixit to get the right one. I don't know. It's a hard thing to comment on. For me personally, I load everything from SD card already. So having a slower internal drive wouldn't affect me because it's still faster than what my SD card would be, even if it was a 512 internal drive. But you know, this is going to chafe some of the people out there that do get the other component. But you're pretty much going to have to like open it up to see which one you have.
Yeah.
So if you're already doing that, well then just put a better one in. If you've already ripped your device apart to look at what's inside of it.
Yeah. There's a quote here. They say SSD performance is currently gated by factors not related to PCIe bandwidth. This is from Lawrence Yang. In extremely uncommon cases, differences in read write speed caps may minimally impact file transfer speed, but OS performance, loading times, and game performance, the game responsiveness are identical between the X2 and X4 drives. So essentially, what he's saying is, listen, we're not using the four lanes. We're not using them because the device doesn't have the capacity to really utilize all this. It's like if you have a PC and You know, you've got, I'm going to be extreme here. You've got like a Pentium 2 chip going out and buying, you know, the latest 3080 graphics card isn't going to do jack for your computer because you're bottlenecked somewhere else. And basically they're saying we're bottlenecked somewhere else. So changing this right. is not going to affect anything except for maybe just moving a file from one place to another. Not when you're actually playing the games. And that's what this device is for, if you ask me. It's for playing games. So I totally get it, but I also understand how somebody would say, well, it's easy for you to say, Bill, you've got the fast one. And I totally see that as a valid argument, but at least they're telling you. I think that this kind of thing happens a lot more often than we think it does, where you know you buy an Xbox or a PlayStation or a Switch, and they've found a new way to make the device, and nobody blinks twice because it's a console, not a PC. So
right.
that's just something to keep in mind. Anything 100%. Else to add on to there?
Yeah, I think of this as the same way as, say, if you bought a car. Say me and you bought the same car from the store, and your car, your speedometer, the graphics on your speedometer go up to 300 miles an hour. And For me, my graphics on my speedometer go up to 180 kilometers an hour, which is like 120 miles an hour or whatever the conversion sure. is. Our cars go the exact same. It just looks like yours can go faster, but it really will never get up to that speed. And that's kind of what this is, right? It's you're never going to get full usage out of the X4, maybe in the future, but it seems like there's other limiting factors. So it could be the bandwidth going to and from the SOC. They say that their PCIe bandwidth isn't the limiting, but there's other buses on the device that is using and accessing that data. So maybe it's the pipes into the SOC. Maybe they can only go so fast. So even if you could push more data at it, they're just going to say, whoa, slow down, big guy. We got to go slow here. We got to do this right. If you're not going to see the performance difference, it doesn't matter. There are going to be people that are going to complain, and that's just the reality of things. And it does suck for those people that are really, really angry when something isn't 100% perfect on their new device. I get that. I'm just complaining at my 64 gig one, which isn't perfect yet. So I understand the complaining thing, but hopefully this won't be a big issue for many people.
You reminded me real quick of Spinal Tap, you know, that going up to 11.
Goes to 11, yeah.
Goes exactly. to 11. Well,
one more, isn't it?
Yeah, well, speaking of things that don't go to 11, the Steam Summer Sale is going to be over on the 7th. So this episode is probably going to come out on the 5th. So as you watch this, the Steam Summer Sale will have two more days. I want to know, what games have you guys been picking up? Let us know in the comments. I want to know what are the best deals out there. I got a lot of stuff on the Steam Summer Sale, and I did not spend very much money, and I'm super happy about it. So let us know. This episode was very heavy on talking about different games and stuff because we had so many new games to talk about because of the Steam Summer Sale. But anything that you want to add before we get out of here, Lloyd?
I don't think so. Bill, you have a fantastic 4th of July. Hopefully there's a lot of shooty bang bang explosions in the sky and barbecue stuff on your grill. Because I had that for the last couple of days and it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I could do without the shooty bang bang stuff. That actually started yesterday. My wife and I were we're sitting here watching Stranger Things, and it was like bang, bang, bang. And I was like, what is happening? Oh, yeah, that's right. People are crazy. But that's it for today's episode of On Deck. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We will see you guys next time. Stay awesome, everybody.
Have a good one, everybody.